Bibles, if you would please, turn to the Gospel of Matthew, and chapter number 16. Now, if you've been with us on Wednesday night for this year, we've been looking in the Gospel of Matthew, and certainly on Wednesday nights, we've preached a few Sunday mornings from the Gospel of Matthew. Matter of fact, week before last, we preached on life's most important question out of chapter number 16 as Jesus comes unto his disciples and begins to question, who do men say that I am? And then, of course, we see that, Peter answers. And then we see that, of course, Peter or the disciples answer. And then, of course, we see that Peter, of course, gives the greatest statement, of course, thou art the Christ. And, of course, that's the most important question that I believe any individual ever be asked is, who do you say that he is? Who is he to you this morning? And so we looked at that a couple of weeks ago. I want to continue in Matthew 16, but I want to go over just a little bit farther and start in verse number 21 today and read down through verse number 27. Now, I'll probably back up and look there, of course, where Jesus makes, of course, him and Peter talking and talking about certainly the church. And I'll probably come back and look at that. But this morning, I just have had a thought on my heart for the last several days, and I just want to try to be obedient to the Spirit of God and look at this thought here that God's placed upon my heart from these verses today. The thought today, as we're going to draw a thought from these verses and give you some other scripture. Now, we'll see how far along we get in it this morning, but I want us to think about this thought. As we thought about, of course, answering life's most important questions is, who is Christ to you? And certainly this morning, I pray that each and every one of you know him as Savior today, but there's a very good possibility that there could be someone, there could be several, there could be many today here. I don't know. I don't know anybody's heart but my own. But you may not know the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You may not be able to sing along with the choir this morning that I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm praying for you this morning that God will speak to your heart and help you to see today that your greatest need is to come to know him as Savior. And then certainly for those that are saved, that we'd rejoice, certainly in our salvation this morning. But the title of the thought is simply be this, The Marks of a True Christian. I want to look at that thought today and draw from these verses of Scripture, again on the thought, the marks of a true or a genuine Christian. If you found your place in the precious Word of God, say amen. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning, if you're able to stand, out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God. Starting in verse number 21, now you can also go to the Gospel of Mark in chapter number 8 and the Gospel of Luke at chapter number 9. In both the Mark and Luke, the writers there give you a little different perspective on this same scripture. But being we've been studying in the Gospel of Matthew, I felt led of God to use these verses here this morning. Notice in verse 21, from that time forth, began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. And then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Verse number 24 is kind of where I want to settle in this morning in these next few verses today and draw again from this thought. Verse 24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what, notice in verse 26, is familiar, and certainly we've preached from this text before, but in a different manner, but notice what he says in verse 26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Verse 27, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. May the Lord add his richest blessings to the reading of the precious Word of God. Let us pray. Father, We bow in your presence once again today, Father, to thank you for another day on this side of eternity, to thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy, and to thank you for the forgiveness of sin. Thank you for, again, the teaching of the Word of God this morning. Then, Lord, I want to thank you for the wonderful singing, Lord, how it's stirred our heart, Lord, reminded us once again of the redemption that we have through and by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. Lord, we want to thank you for that. We want to thank you for this number. I pray now as your servant as I stand in this place. I realize I stand in a place where no man can stand alone and accomplish the will of God. I pray you'll anoint me with fresh oil. God, give me clarity of mind and clarity of speech. I pray that he, the Holy Ghost of God, will walk up and down every pew and speak to every heart. Lord, that's here this morning. Lord, if there's someone here, Lord, they've never trusted you as Savior, I pray today would be the good day. Lord, they'd step out by faith and call upon you for salvation. If for someone here today cold and indifferent, not doing the things, Lord, you'd have them to do, I pray you might speak to them as well. I pray to help us all here this morning through your word. Encourage us and challenge us and strengthen us here today. And Father, I pray right now that you remove every hindrance. God, give me liberty today to say those things that you placed upon my heart. And I pray he, the Holy Ghost of God, will have free reign to do in our hearts and our lives what you want to do today. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. And it's in Christ's name we do pray. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God. Again, for a few moments today, I want us to consider the thought, the marks of a true Christian. Are you a Christian? Many would respond, oh, yes, I am a Christian. If you took a poll, there'd probably be a lot of people say, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian today. But this morning, as we consider that thought or certainly that question that might come up before our ears and we would need to answer from our heart, oh, yes, I'm a Christian. But the question that each of us today need to consider is, do I really bear the marks of a genuine believer and follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, this morning, I am sure that there is room for improvement in each genuine born-again believer of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't believe there's any doubt about that. And the reason I know that, or let me say, it could start here. There's room for improvement in my life. And I'm sure there's probably room in improvement for your life today as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this morning, again, the thing that lies upon my heart, is there enough evidence coming forth from our life? Are there enough marks of Christianity in our everyday walk that people around us can truly see that we are born again, a Bible-believing Christian that's following the Lord Jesus Christ? This morning, I pray that we allow the Spirit of God to search our heart. Is there biblical, and I want to emphasize this word, is there biblical evidence in my life? Let me just do it to me this morning, and I pray the Holy Spirit will do the same to you. Is there biblical evidence in my life that I am a genuine, born-again child of the living God? Friend, I'm going to tell you this morning, if you are truly a Christian, if you are truly a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's going to be some identifying marks in our life. Now, I'm not going to deal with all of them. I have three that I feel like the Lord's placed upon my heart. Now, if I don't get to deal with all of them this morning, we may come back tonight and deal with the others. I just want to be obedient, sensitive to the Spirit of God, because there's a lot of people sitting on church pews. If you ask them again that question, are you a Christian? Oh, yes, preacher, I am a Christian. But what is reflected through your life this morning? Are you following in obedience and submission unto the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? In other words, the Bible is the final authority in all matters pertaining unto life and faith. And so today we need to examine the Bible. What does the Bible have to say as far as being a genuine Christian or a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? As I begin to think about this thought, I looked, and of course the word Christian, as far as being mentioned in our King James Bibles, is only mentioned two times. I believe once in the book of Acts and once in the book of Peter, 1 Peter. And then the word Christians, of course, is mentioned there in the book of Acts, where the book of Acts says they were called Christians first at Antioch. And so you don't have the word Christian used maybe as much as you might think that we would. But then I thought about the word disciple. And certainly as you think about the word Christian, as it's used in the Greek, it simply means to be a follower of Christ, or a little Christ is what that actually means. But the word disciple, as you will find, is used numerous times in our Bibles. And the word disciple simply means to be a learner, a pupil, or a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so today I believe you could certainly connect those two together as far as the thought of a Christian or a disciple, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I say this morning that thank God I want to follow Him. I want to be an example of Him. I want to be what He has called me to be as far as a Christian this morning, and being salt and light unto this world. I'll tell you what, we're living in dark times. We're living in evil times. I'll tell you what, all around us this morning, people everywhere is looking for something that's real, something that will fulfill their life, something that will give them real peace and real joy this morning. And friend, the only way that you're going to be able to experience that is to truly come to know the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then go outside these four walls and bear the example, bear the marks, if you will, hallelujah, of being a genuine Christian. Again, we all have room for improvement. Don't misunderstand me. We'll never reach the place of perfection. I understand that today. But friend, we ought to strive in our lives today to be more like Him and less like us. And friend, that takes work. The Christian life this morning takes work. I realize we're saved by faith, but this morning, being what God wants us to be, hey, we're going to have to work. We're going to have to strive at it this morning. But I'm telling you, I'm glad I don't have to do it on my own. I'm glad there's somebody in me. I'm glad there's somebody directing me. I'm glad, thank God, there's somebody, thank God, that's helping me in this Christian walk. And so this morning, are you and I bearing the marks of a true Christian? And so I can't answer that for you. I can't answer that for my wife and for my children. I have to look within my own heart. But I'm glad I can see the evidences in people's lives that they have been with Jesus. It's going to make a difference in your life. And so that being said today, as far as introduction is concerned, I want to look at three identifying marks from the Scriptures today and ask the Spirit of God to speak to our heart. And friend, if you're here today and you can't say with all your heart that there's been a time and a place in your life where you met the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, then I pray today would be the day that you give your heart and your life to Him. I would pray today, if you're here as a Christian and you're not allowing God to use you and you're not being faithful and committed to Him like you should, that today would be the day that you would determine in your heart, I'm going to follow Him. I want the world to see this man called Jesus in me. Amen. And so the first thing that I thought about, the first identifying mark, is number one, and it's not anything new, not anything you've not heard me preach before, but I truly want to hit this right here, and it may be the only one I get around to this morning. But the first identifying mark of a child of the living God, of a genuine Christian, is number one, a changed life. Amen. Now, I understand when I say a changed life, and I'm going to give you some scripture here in a moment. I understand for the little fellows that I reach that age of accountability and they come young. I realize that certainly as they come, they've not been out and seeing. Maybe as an older individual, a more mature individual, maybe as you might think. And certainly you may not see as much change in their life. But friend, I want to tell you what today God saved me. I'm glad He changed my life. Hallelujah. And the thing about it is He changed it for the better. Amen. I don't know, friend, why you want to continue to live in sin and live away from God and not have that peace and that joy and that contentment that only comes from knowing Him today. Because, friend, there is no greater life today than knowing the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and knowing that in your heart today, my friend. Oh, yeah, preacher, I'm a Christian. Well, can you tell me about a changed life? Can you tell me this morning about a time that God changed your life? Friend, if you can't come to a time and a place where you can think and go back to that God changed your life, then friend, today could be your day. Amen. Today should be your day. And you know what? For those today that have a changed life, you know what you need to be doing right now? You need to be praying for those that has not experienced a changed life. Why? Because there is no greater life to live than to live for the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there the marks of true Christianity? Well, let's look at this morning that identifying mark of a changed life. Now again, that doesn't make us perfect. As you find the word a perfect used in our Bible many times, it simply means complete, because none of us reach that place of perfection today. He's still working on me, and thank God He is. But friend, we ought to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, and we ought to begin to bear the marks of true Christianity. A born again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, we know Jesus dealt with Nicodemus and told him, he said, ye must be born again. Very religious man. But yet there needed to be a change in his life. And the only one that can change a life is the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes the power of the gospel. It takes this morning, hallelujah, you repenting of your sin, getting right with God, and calling upon Him today for salvation. And then He will change your life. Thank God for a changed life. I thought about this changed life. And of course, you're very familiar with it. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 17. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, I'm glad I'm in Christ and Christ is in me. Hallelujah. I like that so good. Let me say it one more time. I'm glad to be in Christ and I'm glad Christ is in me today. Hallelujah. Thank God, I tell you, that's the difference in religion and relationship. Hallelujah, and I'm so thankful for that. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is, that's present tense, he is a new creature. And that word creature simply means a new creation. Now, I think the Sunday school lesson this morning took us back to the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis. And friend, I'll tell you what, every doctrine that we have, certainly within the Baptist faith this morning, I believe you can go back to the book of Genesis and you can trace it right back to the book of Genesis, because it's the book of beginnings. And so we see there in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Hallelujah. Think about this now. You was an old lost sinner on the road to hell. And I'll tell you what, the power of God come by where you was at and let you know that you needed a Savior. And when you made your way to Calvary, God began, hallelujah, to the Lamb of God. This may not do anything for anybody else, but it excites me to know, thank God, on that Sunday morning that God reached down farther than I could reach up. I'll tell you what, and deserved hell this morning, was a sinner lost, but thank God He reached down where I was at and pulled me out of the mess I was in. Thank God when I got to Calvary, God began to do a work in my life. Thank God that I cannot begin to explain. He began to create. Thank God and make me a new creature or a creation in Christ Jesus the Lord. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. You say, preacher, you get excited about that. Yes, I get excited when I think where I used to be and think about what I used to do and think about the things I used to say. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Thank God that made a new creature, a new creation in Christ Jesus in me. People sitting on church pews this morning may have their name wrote on the church roll. And that's wonderful. You ought to be a part of a church. Can I say this morning, if you're truly born again, I'm not going to be able to preach all the marks, but I believe one mark is you'll want to be in a church somewhere where the gospel's preached. Amen. Where you can rejoice with the saints of God. Where you can do the work of God. Be encouraged to go out and do the work of God. Why? Because He makes us a new creation. You think about that. God taking an old dirty rotten sinner and saving him and redeeming him and creating within him. Now, yes, we're still in the same old flesh. This flesh is not saved. This flesh here this morning is not saved. Amen. This flesh this morning is not saved. But I'm glad, thank God, what lives within me, my soul, and that inner man. When God made man, put him there in the garden and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, that makes man eternal. Because it comes from an eternal God. You're going to spend eternity somewhere, my friend. And the only way we can spend an eternity with Him is to have a changed life. Is to have a changed life. Think about that. He took you and made you a new creation. Oh, that ought to be exciting to us. Can you remember when you got saved? I say, can anybody remember when you got saved? Now, God began to work in your life and change your life. See, the marks of a true Christian today is, number one, it'll be an individual. Now, that word man, as it's used in the text, it's talking about mankind. It's just not talking about the male species. It's talking about mankind. So, men, women, boys, and girls all around the world can experience a changed life in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The marks of a true Christian today is an individual that has trusted Christ and He has changed their life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or creation. All things are passed away. Hallelujah! Old things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. Now again, the flesh is not saved, but boy, God begins to do a work in that life. Do a work in that heart that only He could do. I believe the first mark this morning of a genuine follower, Christian, disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ is a changed life. Can you honestly say in your heart today that there's been a time and there's been a place where God changed your life, made you a new... And listen, if you make something new again, if you make something new, if you make a new creation, it's going to make a difference. Huh? Amen. Everybody likes something new, don't they? I mean, new cars, new houses, new phone. I mean, man alive, everybody likes something new. But I'm glad God made something in me new. Made me a new creation, a new creature. And again, that word creature means creation. In Christ Jesus. As I think about this morning, and again, this first mark being a new creation, so... How does all that come about? Does it just happen? Well, not even in the creation story, as you read it and study it, it just didn't happen. I know the evolutionists of our day say, well, a big bang took place and everything just happened to be. Well, how crazy. It takes more faith to believe that than it does the Genesis account of creation. Amen? It takes way more faith to believe that, and you're believing a false doctrine, a false teaching. I'm glad this morning, hallelujah, when a child of God, or when a sinner, before he becomes a child of God, there's some things that take, it just doesn't happen. You're not just going to sit in the church pew and God fall out and just save you, right there, knock you in the head and save you. Oh, preacher, I attend church, that means I'm saved. Oh, no. Preacher, I tithe, that means I'm saved. Oh, no. Preacher, I do this and I do that, and that means I'm saved. Oh, no. Now, those are things that saved people ought to do. Amen. Hey, man, but that doesn't make you saved. What gets us to the place that God does that work and gives us that identified mark of a new creation? Let me give you a few things and I'll be done. I'm not going to get to the other two, by the way. Number one, how does God make us a new creation? Well, number one, first of all, He convicts us of our sin. Now, again, this is not anything new, but I still believe it ought to be preached. Because people today, oh, yes, I'm a Christian, but yet they can go out and live in their sin and never think anything about it. Now, friend, there's something seriously wrong with your thinking of Christianity. Now, again, we're not perfect. And again, today, hey, at the very best, we're going to fail, we're going to sin, we're going to come short of the glory of God. But that doesn't give us a license to go out and live like we want to live. Friend, if you can live in blatant, open sin, there's something wrong with your relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, I know that's not popular preaching, but I didn't come to be popular no how. I come to tell you the truth. Why would you do that, preacher? Because I love you and God loves you and God wants you to be saved and redeemed by the good grace of God. So how does God take an old sinner that deserves hell and make him a new creature or creation in Christ Jesus? Well, the first thing that He does is He convicts us of our sin. Anybody in here ever been convicted of your sin? Well, I've seen a few hands, and some of you I'm worried about. I don't know. I can't speak for you. I can just speak for me because I was there when it happened. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I'm glad I was there when it happened. I'm glad I can stand it. Now, listen, I didn't like it much when God began to convict and deal with my heart. But boy, I'm sure glad I done something. I'm glad God didn't give up on me. I'm glad He didn't quit. I'm glad He didn't leave me in that sinful state. He just kept knocking. He kept knocking. Thank God to the Lamb of God. He let me know that I was a sinner. He convicted me of my sin. Now, I had never went out and murdered anyone. And there's a lot of things that I could say that maybe I didn't do, but there's a whole lot of things that I could say I did do. Man. Preacher, are you going to tell us about it? Absolutely not. Right. It ain't none of your stinking business. Right. Hey, man. Right. It's none of your stinking business. That's twixt me and God. And matter of fact, He don't even know nothing about it anymore anyhow. Woo! Glory to the Lamb of God. You want to know why? Because when I made my way to Calvary on a Sunday morning and said, Lord, forgive me, be merciful to me, a sinner, I'm glad, thank God. At that moment, at that very moment, I believe immediately, thank God, the Holy Ghost of God done a work in my life and forgave me and washed it away and cast it as far as the east is from the west, never to be brought up against me anymore. The devil may remind me, and Jesus will say, what sin are you talking about? Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. How do you know that you carry the mark of a Christian? It's a changed life, because there was a day He convicted me of my sin. People want to live in their sin and say, oh yes, I'm a Christian. And friend, I'm not trying to hurt you, I'm trying to help you. If you continue to live in your sin, you'll die lost in your sin and split hell wide open. Well, preacher, what sin is it that ultimately dooms me to that place? It is the sin of rejection. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And you reject what He done at Calvary. See, here in this text, I'm not even going to get into much of the text this morning. But right here in this text before us, Jesus begins to tell those disciples, boys, I'm fixing to give my life. I'm glad it didn't end there. I'm glad he told him 3 days later he's coming back. Religion won't change your life. But calling upon Christ today will. The marks of a genuine Christian or follower or believer in the Lord Jesus. It's a changed life. Number one, how does God change the life? Number one, He convicts of sin. Now, if He only just convicted me of my sin and left me there, I wouldn't have had a changed life. See, that conviction of sin is that knocking, is that pleading. Because God's wanting to change your life. And He starts by convicting us of our sin. That's the reason you need to keep these little fellows under the preaching of the Word of God. That God would convict them early. That they get so they wouldn't fall in some of the stuff maybe we did. See, you can preach to young people. You done that last week. Well, I want to encourage them all again. And I want to encourage you all that I can. Keep them under the preaching of the Word of God. If I can about promise you, if you'll keep him under the preaching of the Word of God, matter of fact, I know God will deal with them. But I will say this. You keep them out from under the preaching of the Word of God. In essence, you're putting their soul into your own hands. Now, you think about that. You better keep them under the preaching of the Word of God. How does God take something that's old and make something new out of it? Number one, He convicts of sin. Number two, not only does He convict of sin, but in that conviction of sin, there needs to come forth a confession and repentance of sin. What is that? What is that, preacher? Lord, I realize I've sinned. Lord, you have shown me through your word. That's not what everybody else tells you. Hey, man. It's what God tells you. It's what God shows you. It's not my job to call out your sin. We as Baptists sometimes think we do a real good job. Well, we'll just call out their sin. Well, the only problem is when you're pointing one finger forward, you got three more pointing back at you. It's not my job to call out the sin. You get under the preaching of the Word of God and the Holy Ghost of God, He'll call out the sin. He'll let you know about it. But sin doesn't seem to bother people anymore. There was a day when people, if you knew anything about the Bible at all, they would try to hide it and cover it. And of course, people still do that. But man, they just do it openly now. I'm glad there's still power in the gospel of Christ today to convict a sinner. I don't need to call it out. I'm glad there's one that can and will call it out. Why does he do that? Because he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He don't want you living in that sin. It's not what I want. And a lot of times it's not necessarily what. But what does God want? What does God expect? How is God going to make me a new creation? Well, He convicted me of my sin. And then secondly, there was a confession and repentance of my sin. Now, there's one thing about it. The day I got saved, I didn't have to confess nobody else's sin. Hey, man, hallelujah. I had enough of my own. I didn't have to go to some bird sitting behind some wall somewhere and talk through some knothole. Whoop! Hey, man, thank God I'm glad I could march up to the throne of grace, hallelujah, by the precious blood that was shed at Calvary and say, Lord Jesus, be merciful unto me, a sinner.
Amen.
That bird behind that door in that knothole, he can't do nothing for you, no how.
Amen.
Amen. But he can. How does God take something that's old and make something new out of it? When he convicts of sin, and number two, there's a confession. Yes, Lord, I sinned. Now, he already knows that. He just wanted me to, he just wanted to hear it from me that I acknowledge it. And then repentance, as you well know, as we've preached, he's just turning away from. I've decided I'm going a different direction with the help of God. Now, you can't go in that direction on your own. Boy, I can remember when God was dealing with my heart when he convicted me. And I know I've said it before, but boy, I thought I could clean up and I could do better. And boy, I found out it didn't take long. I couldn't. Boy, I sure couldn't. But the day I got saved, the day that God reached down in my heart and made a new creation, that's when it all started. Hallelujah. Somebody's listening. Amen. So how does he take? He convicts. And then there's people sitting here probably this morning that God has convicted you of your sin, and you know it's sin. But instead of coming and confessing and repenting, you've decided to keep carrying it on. God can't make you a new creation like that. God won't make a new creation like that. There must be a confession. Not to the preacher. Not to mom and dad. Now, there may be some things you need to go tell them. I don't know. Not to husband or the wife. But to God and God alone. That's between you and Him. Thank God it's that way. So there's a conviction of sin. There's a confession and repentance of sin. And let me say this. There's a conversion. A conversion. What are you talking about, preacher? That's God taking that old man. After he's convicted of sin and after you've confessed and repented and called upon him for salvation, there's a conversion that takes place. Right. Preacher, how long does it take for that conversion to take place? Faster than that. God takes that which is old and makes it new. Thank God for a conversion. Some people say, well, preacher, I didn't have this experience. Or I've heard people talk about this experience. It's not about the experience. I'm afraid some people have deceived others because they come up with some kind of wild experience. Friend, it's not about the experience. It's about putting faith in Christ. It's about realizing that sin and confessing and repenting and calling upon Him. Then there's a conversion that takes place. A change, if you will. Thank God for a Holy Ghost conversion. A conversion from the lifestyle. Let me give you this. A conversion from the lifestyle of sin of the old man to the new man in Christ Jesus. So what does it take to carry that first mark of a genuine Christian? The conviction, the confession. Then there comes the conversion. Let me give you one more and I'm done. Not only does a conversion take place, but then there comes within us a correcting spirit. Y'all hearing me? There comes about in that conversion experience or that conversion time. I don't want to use that word experience. Somebody go out here and say, a preacher was contradicting himself. When that conversion takes place, there is a correcting spirit that moves in. Preacher, what are you talking? You have done lost your mind. I knew somebody would agree with me. Preacher, what are you talking about? A corrected Pharisee. Remember now, those that are saved are just old sinners saved by grace. And there's going to be times that things are going to come into our minds. There's times that there's going to be thoughts, and thoughts will turn into deeds and actions if we're not careful. But I'm so glad there's something inside of me that says, whoa, here just a minute. Whoa, here just a minute. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but I'll have to say this with all honesty that I know how to say it with. I didn't have that before, Miss Debbie. I didn't have that before. But the Sunday morning I got right with God and called on Him, and He made me a new creation. I could just begin to think about the Word. And thank God there'd be something in there go, whoa, whoa, right there.
Yes, sir.
If you, I'm going to say this. If you can continually live in sin without any conviction of that sin, then there's something wrong with your spiritual life.
Amen.
Are you hearing me?
Amen.
If God give me that correcting spirit, then I can almost assure you that everybody that's born again, that God has changed, there'll be a mark of a correcting spirit.
Amen.
Why? Because God don't want me in that mess.
Amen.
God don't want you in that mess. You have been bought with a price.
Amen.
The price of the precious blood of the Lamb of God. He has bought you and paid for you.
Yeah. Amen.
He don't want you living in that. If you can live in open sin and it doesn't bother you. Now, I know this is probably making somebody uncomfortable. Friend, I hope the Holy Ghost makes you uncomfortable. I'm trying to help you. I'll tell you one thing. Bless God, I ain't going back out there no more. Lord, get right with God and you'll love to come.
Yeah. Amen.
But there's a correcting spirit. Let me know when I cross the line. If I didn't have that today, now I'm glad I got the Word of God. It's not a bad experience. It's about what the Word of God says. But man, I'm glad for that correcting spirit. Now, there's sometimes I don't listen to Him. I let my flesh rire up. I know nobody else is guilty of that, but boy, I let my flesh rire up. And if I just listened to the Spirit of God, I'd stay out of a whole lot more trouble. But if you can live in open sin, and you know, listen, you know whether or not God's called, and if God's ever one time called it sin, it's still sin. He ain't changed His mind. But am I carrying forth the mark of a genuine Christian? Am I carrying forth a changed life? Not just a member of the church. Not just religious. Not just coming in and out. But a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ. Friend, there's nothing that will take place of it. You know, everybody says, well, I want to quit this and I want to quit that. Friend, you don't have the power within yourself most of the time to be able to quit. But I'm glad there's power in the Lamb of God that can help you and will help you. I've heard alcoholics say, now listen, for some people it's a process, it takes a little bit of time. But I've heard alcoholics say, when God saved me, I went home and poured out what I had and have not touched a drop since. I've heard cussers. I've heard cussers say, when God made me a new creation, He took that cussing tongue away from me.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. I've heard dope addicts testify to the fact that they had a habit they couldn't lay down. But when God moved in, God gave them the strength, God gave them the willpower, and God gave them the direction that they could lay it down.
Man.
And man, we could go on and on. And listen, I know some of those things are hard. But I'm glad, thank God, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. And it's not the preacher that does the correcting. It's the Spirit of God and the Word of God that does the correcting. That correcting Spirit that lives within us. And I got this wrote down. I'm trying to close, I promise. If not guarded, any of us can fall back into habits and even sin of the old nature. You better get a hold of that. Preacher, I would never do that. I wouldn't say that. By the grace of God, I won't. I'm not here to beat you up this morning. I'm here to help you. If not guarded, I'm talking about that correcting spirit. If it's not guarded, any of us can fall back into the habits and even sin of the old nature because it is a continual battle. But I'm going to close with this thought. I've already said it, but let me say it one more time. But without correction, you're not a son or a daughter of the Lord Jesus Christ. Preacher, that's pretty stout. That's Bible. The Bible says, whom He loves, He chasteneth. When we do wrong, if we've been made a new creature, there'll be a correcting spirit. And if we're anywhere near where we want to get right with God, we'll say, yeah, Lord, you're exactly right. You know what we do again? We confess, Lord, I'm sorry. And you know what He does when we say that? Lord, I'm sorry. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Do you carry the marks of a genuine Christian? Do you carry the marks of a changed life? The second mark, and I'm not going to preach on it today, but the second mark is a cross to bear. Taken right from our text today, a cross to bear. And then thirdly, there's commandments to live by. I'll pull some things right out of the Scriptures. Commandments to live by. Well, preacher, ain't nobody living by them Ten Commandments. I ain't saying nothing about Ten Commandments. But there are commandments to live by. If you're going to show to the world that you are a disciple, if you're going to carry that mark. But what I'm concerned about this morning is you have the mark of a changed life. If you don't, why don't you come and get it today? He loves you. He died for you. And He'll save you if you'll call on Him. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Period. Let's stand to our feet all over the building. Brother Scotty, come get us a song. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You come get us a song. Musicians to come to the instruments and just begin to play softly as I pray. Father, I sure do love You today. Thank You for loving me. And Lord, I thank You for the privilege to stand one more time and try to proclaim the truths of the Word of God. I realize it's been very elementary, but yet, Father, how many times that we need to be reminded. And then, Lord, there could be somebody here today that, Lord, they've never truly been born again. There's never been that mark of a changed life. I pray this morning, under the convicting power of the Holy Ghost of God, that, Lord, they would turn loose of their sin and of their self, and, Lord, just come to the Savior and say, Lord Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, life's too short, and eternity is too long to think about leaving this world and living this life without that changed life. I pray You'll speak to every heart. And I pray the hearts will be tender. be receptive. God, speak to them. Knock on that heart. Give them courage to come. Then for those that are Christians today, maybe that correcting spirit's come by. We've kind of brushed it off and said no. Lord, how dangerous that is. Help us today. We get right with you, live for you, and carry that mark of being a genuine follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Speak to hearts. Help us to be obedient. It's in Christ's name. As every head's bowed, every eye's closed.